Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you for the friends and family that have made it here from out of town, from in town, from out of state, from everywhere, Lord. Be with them as they go home later, either today or later this week. Please be with me. Help my words to be yours and not mine, Lord. Help us to get through this church service and have a better understanding of your love. In your name, amen. All right. Warning. I got back from basic training. I went there this summer. One thing I learned is if you're falling asleep when somebody's up front talking, you go to the back and you stand up. Enough said, right? Okay. First point I'm going to make while you're all still awake. A relaxed Christian is a dangerous Christian. Now think about that. As soon as you get satisfied with where you're at in your walk with God, with your relationship with God, that's when you're in the danger zone, the red zone. Not the football red zone, the bad red zone. Okay? It's dangerous to say, I am comfortable with where I'm at with God. You should never be comfortable. You should always desire to do more and be closer to God and know more about Him. But it's not enough to stand up in front of a church and preach or go out and talk to people about the Bible, tell them the Bible stories. All that is great. But there's more we can do. And you have to get down on the level of the people you're talking to. Because if you put yourself up above somebody, they don't see how to get there. And I think as a church, sometimes we struggle with that. We may hold ourselves up higher, or we may come off as holding ourselves up higher when we go out to evangelize. And I think that's a concern in our church of going down to the level of the people we're talking to. Because God created all of us, each one of us. He created us. And He created us all the same. So let's start going down to people's levels when we talk to them and humble ourselves. But you can't look at me to be the example, to make the first move, because I'm human and I'll make a mistake. You can't look at Pastor Mosley or Pastor Half Hill to do it because they're human too. They'll make a mistake. I'm sorry. But it happens. And so who do we look to? Well, right, Jesus. Okay? God gave us an example of what to do and how to do it. That's the best way I learn in school, is watching, having it explained to me, and then watching somebody do it. Riley, Lex, that's why I like watching you do your homework, because then I can get it done. More Alexa. But Jesus came down to this earth. He got down to our level, came as a baby, the most humble, most vulnerable state a human being can be in, a baby, fully dependent on those around him to take care of him and make sure he stays alive. He started out where each one of us started out. And he just desires to know you better, to have you love him. And that word desire is a very loaded word. The word desire, God uses it as he desires to be with us. But he also uses it, the Hebrew word's the same as the word for covet in the Ten Commandments. Same word. And so it's a strong want. Somebody, if I desire something, I want that so bad. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get that. Let's go to Matthew 5, 21 through 37. Matthew 5, 21 through 37. And I'm not going to read all of it, but you can read through it and you'll find out that it's a desire is unique. It's the only commandment that deals with an inner feeling. It's not an action, but it starts in your heart. And Matthew 5:21 through 37, it talks about how murder begins in the heart, how adultery begins in the heart. When you let those desires fill your heart, it takes up space. Your heart is only so big, and if you fill it with lust or anger or whatever sinful desire you want to name, it takes up space that Jesus can be in. And I feel like sometimes I desire Jesus to be in my life, but I might desire something else more. And that's a dangerous spot. Or I might say, well, I'm gonna desire Jesus tomorrow or in an hour when I have religion class. Then I'll get rid of those desires and put these desires in my heart. That's not how it works. Desire is way too strong to just switch like that, all right? It's not a light switch. If you're holding on to anger or lust or a sinful desire, Jesus is urging you to give it to God, and he'll take it away, and you'll have more room in your heart for him. And that's what he calls us to have, a heart full of love, full of his Spirit, so that when we interact with people in our day-to-day lives, it overflows out of us, and they can't help but notice something's different. I mentioned about cheering. People know there's something different with us three. All right, we are in full blue, and we got face paint on, but we're too poor to afford real face paint, so it's just this giant tube of paint, and it gets all crusty, and you can't, we're hot, but we don't sweat, because it just closes all your pores, and people look at us, and you're crazy, and we go, yeah! We are. We're a crazy bunch of people, but I talked to them earlier today about applying our craziness and our desire and our love for our team into turning that and flipping it into a desire for God. Amen. I mean, we're considering making shirts that say G-O-D. And now we got to be careful and not spell dog. I understand that. But because sometimes we get mixed up and spell VAC or whatever. You can AC if one of us isn't there. But taking those desires that we have, even if it's just, if it's for someone or something, taking those and making God first in all of our relationships. Jesus came down as a baby. He became a friend to everyone around him. That's the best way to relate to people, is being a friend. If you're not my friend and you come talking to me about stuff I'm doing wrong and stuff I need to change, I'm going to get offended. That's going to be offensive to me because you don't know me. But you put the time in and you desire to be that person's friend. And then you desire to share God with that person. You don't change that person. You live your life connected to God daily. And through your interactions with those people, God will spill out onto them through you. And it's an incredible thing. So we got to be friends and desire to love people and desire to overwhelm them with our God-filled lives. But how do we do it? We got to become a friend. That's the first step. But that's easy. You can be almost anybody's friend unless they're just really mean. They're out there, trust me. Some of those kids in swimming lessons I am so nice to, and they just will not be my friend. And they splash me and scream at me. But how to become somebody's friend, you can do that. But how to live your life connected to God daily, hourly, it's hard. Reading the Bible is awesome. A lot of good stuff in here. Perfect layout for life. It's a map. You can't find a better guide to life than this book right here. But you got to move past the reading the Bible and praying every morning, because those things are great, and that's where you start, but you got to take it to the next step. You got to go and you got to let God out through you in your day-to-day life. You can't wake up at 4:30 in the morning and read your Bible, have your devotional, and then go and just forget about it for the rest of the day. That it doesn't do you any good to take all this information in and not practice it. You got to practice what you read in the Bible, and let, when you pray, have God come into your life and say, please be with me every day. And if it takes you praying more than just that one time in the morning, pray every hour, or have somebody pray with you whenever you want. If you're at school or at work, develop a friendship with a coworker where you can pray, maybe during lunch or whatever break time you guys have. I don't know. I don't have a job, but I'm working on it. Let's look at Matthew 6, 1 through 4. Matthew 6, 1 through 4. I'm going to read this to you guys. Take heed that you do not do your terrible deeds before men, to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a terrible deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites and do in the synagogues, but in the streets, that they may glory, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do terrible deeds, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your terrible deed may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. So yes, it's great to go out and to let God shine through you and to fill your life with so much of his presence and glory that you can't help but spill it out to everyone you come in contact with. Excuse me. But if you have a desire to get a reward for yourself by doing those good deeds, that's not what God's asking us to do. It is dangerous to go out and tell people about God and have other people tell you how nice of a person you are, how great you're doing, and you just say, oh, well, thank you. And, you know, you get your little swagger going and you start thinking, yeah, I'm a pretty good person. I'm a good guy. I look good. I can go out and talk to people. People like me. You got to remember who gave you your looks, who gave you your talent, who gave you the ability to go out and speak. Okay, God gave you all of those. But we're born with that desire, that sinful human desire. And so we have to work on changing that. And it's a struggle every day to say, God, I want to go out and do awesome things for you, but I need your help so that I don't get full of myself, and so that I can just direct all the glory and praise that people give me to you. Because if people start looking to me or to a pastor or to anyone as such a great person, and they just think we're the bomb and they're following us, doing what we do, that's awesome until my human nature kicks in again and I fall and I sin. I do something I shouldn't. I say something I shouldn't. When that happens and you have people focusing in on you, you mislead them and they don't know where to go, because you were such a great person, but then you did such a bad thing and they don't know what happened. And it's either going to end up one of two ways. They're going to completely write you off, or they're going to think, oh, well, maybe it's okay if I do that. You know, this great person did that. Maybe I can do that. That's why we got to direct everything up to God. And it's a battle for your life, for my life. It's always a battle. 24/7, the devil is out there trying to get you to mess up, trying to get me to mess up. It never stops. So why should our relationship with God stop? It shouldn't be I'll come to church once a week thing, and you come in here, and somebody asks you, oh, how's it going? You say, oh, good, how are you? And everything's just good and dandy. No, there's a battle going on for your life and for my life. I feel like you don't understand what I'm trying to say. Your life is in danger. A little better. Show up to the volleyball or the basketball games tonight. We'll work on being louder. Your life is on the line. I am somewhat responsible for your life. You are somewhat responsible for my life. You can't control my actions, but you can be a positive influence on me, just like I can be a positive influence on you. When you get down to the bottom line of it, it comes down to this. God gave us a map in the Bible. He gave us the perfect example, perfect leader in his son Jesus, who came down, he started where we started. He came down, lived a perfect life, perfect person. He came down to die for each one of us so that we have the chance to be with him in heaven. Not that we automatically get to, we have the chance. You have the choice. You have the choice to follow the right path or the wrong path. And while I can't force you down one path or the other, I can encourage you to go this way. I can encourage you to stay away from these things. You need to be strong in yourself so you know right from wrong. But you need to be strong in each other so that when one of us is weak, we can help that person out and save their life. It's not a joke. I go through my school days, and I'm there for about 4 hours a day because I'm a senior. And I have hardly any classes. I have 3 main classes, and it is awesome. But I try to spend more time there than I have to so I can interact with people and know where my school's headed, because I love my school and I love my church. But it scares me to see how fast everybody will, if one leader falls, everybody starts going down. You need to have your connection with God. You need to be anchored in him so that if a leader is struggling, you can go to that person and say, hey, I want to pray with you. I want to help you figure out what's going on so we can get back on track, so we can win the battle against Satan, so I can save your life and my life and see you in heaven. It's your choice. We have a lot of friends. I have 300 friends on Facebook, right around there. That's not that many. People look at my Facebook and go, man, he has no friends. I say, yeah, but I know all of my Facebook friends. You may see your Facebook friend on Facebook. I see all my Facebook friends in real life. Yeah. Let's turn to Matthew 7, 13 through 14. Matthew 7, 13 through 14. Talks about the narrow way. And you can also find it in Luke 13, 22 through 33. I like the book of Matthew because Matthew is short, sweet, and to the point most of the time. And that's what I like. I don't like a whole bunch of fancy wording around it or extra parables here and there. Those are great, but when I'm reading my Bible, I want to get the main message of it. I want to pray about it, and then I want to share it with somebody. So Matthew 7, 13 through 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Friends, if you find that gate, let me know where it is. If you find that path, and you find things that help you stay on that path, let me know. Let each other know. Because it is a struggle to stay on that path. Because there are so many different things, so many distractions, and so many things that I want to do that maybe God says no or not now. But sometimes I want to go do that anyway. But if I have friends or family saying, hey, is that what God wants you to do? Or friends coming up and saying, hey, can you help me stay on track? I see you going good. Help me out. If you depend on each other to help keep each other accountable, you will be surprised how much better or how often you'll find yourself reading your Bible or thinking twice about your actions and comments. When you know the people around you are listening to what you say, looking at what you do, and they feel responsible. When you develop that relationship with each other, your world will turn upside down in a good way. So let's recap real quick. We have being a friend. And being a friend means taking time for each other, making time for each other. Not on Facebook. Not on Facebook. I hate Facebook. Call each other up. You know, meet them for a cup of coffee or juice or a smoothie because we don't drink coffee. Yeah. You go through basic training and not develop a slight coffee addiction. I dare you. We have Jesus being a friend, okay? We have coming down to people's levels so that you can relate, so that you can be eye to eye, so that people know you're real, so that people know you are human. Because sometimes we get a picture of certain people and we feel like, wow, they're so awesome. But no, we gotta get down to their level. And if you see somebody creeping up, go ahead, take their legs out, knock them down a few steps, you know? Bring them back to earth. Bring them back to our level. Say, hey, you're awesome. I love what you're doing, but let's keep it real, you know? Give the glory to God. Now, I'm going to be back at that door after I'm done preaching. And you're all going to come by and say, what a good job I did. And, well, I hope. And I might be running out of that door. You're going to come by and you're going to tell me how great of a job I did. And I'm going to try and tell you that it was God speaking through me and not me. And I guarantee I will mess up and just say thank you. And because there are a lot of you here today. And when I do that, I'm going to try to give the glory to God. But I'm just putting it out there right now. Let God have the glory for whatever you got positively out of this sermon today. Know that God was in your heart and spoke through me to affect you in that way. Anyone can get up here, come up with some Bible verses, and show a PowerPoint or do whatever. But if you ask God to give you something out of that message, that's when you get it. If you just come in here and sit down with a hard heart that's not open to God, God's not going to force himself into your life. You have to have that open heart, that open mind to welcome him in. There's always people who need our help. And there's people in your work life, in your gym that you go to, in our school, at Union College, at church. There's people sitting next to you who need that friend. And my sermon title is Phone a Friend, and that's Pastor Andy was texting me, kind of bugging me for my sermon title, and I'm like, well, I don't know what to title it. And if you've sat through one of my sermons before, it's a struggle for me to tie my sermon title into my sermon. And I kind of picked my sermon title after I knew what they picked for the closing hymn. Take that. And so, but Phone a Friend as my sermon title with a question mark is, are you going to phone that friend? Are you going to take the time out of your day to call somebody and say, hey, I care about you? And honestly ask them, how are they doing? And if they ask you the same question, to be honest with them. If you're struggling with something, maybe they've been through that. Maybe they can show you the ways they worked through that, the ways they stay better connected to God. I just want to remind you guys that we're a church family. And family can talk to family about anything. Family's always there for each other. And we have those church directories with all those phone numbers. Call one of them sometime. And when I get a phone call from the church, it's usually, will you do scripture reading? Will you do songs? They don't ask me to sing, but will you preach? And I love those phone calls, but it'd be nice to get a phone call just saying, hey, how are you doing? You know, what's up in your life? What can I help you with? Or a phone call saying, hey, can you pray with me real quick? I'm going through something. And that's all that needs to be said. God knows. And like Edward read for me this morning, did he leave already? I hope. Oh, no, he's still here. Good job, Edward. We're supposed to be singing at CVC, but I like Piedmont more. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Like Edward read for me this morning, where two or more are gathered. You put it together, get a friend, and focus in on Jesus. Ask Jesus to fill each other's lives with his presence, with his glory, so that you can have a better life, and so that we can see each other in heaven. Because I'd love to get Piedmont together up in heaven sometime and just hang out as Piedmont, you know? Yeah. What's wrong with that? CVC, we have eternity to hang out with people from College View Church. And I'll just take a little bit of that eternity to hang out with you guys, because you guys are way better. I'm in my competitive state due to Union Tournament, and because CVC beat our team in basketball. Let's have a short word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us this day of life. Thank you for giving us friends and giving us your Son as an example on how to live our lives. I ask that you come into our lives today, give us an open heart to accept those around us, keep us grounded on the level that we need to be at, and help all the glory and honor that we receive to go straight to you, Lord. In your name, amen.